Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with Golden Voice Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning, July the 27th, 2026. 7:27:26. Those are some interesting numbers. 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Last Monday in the month of July. How about that? We've got a lot going on here this morning. Now, the first thing I want to mention is I talk about this truck that takes down the signs right in front of what used to be the old St. Mary's School on Route 95. And they do it at 7:30 in the morning when they do it. You know, it's the signs that hang over the road. And for some reason, with the fair, and there was another event going on, I can't remember what it was, but they seem to be doing this about every week now. And wouldn't you know it, they were out there again this morning. I know this is the third time that I've seen that truck there in the last month. Just sits in the middle lane of Mount Vernon Avenue or Route 95, whatever you want to call it, right there across from St. Mary's High School, or what used to be St. Mary's High School. And I'm telling you, the way people fly down that road, somebody's going to get hit, especially that time of morning, 7:30 in the morning. Now, again, I'm not trying to tell the city how to do what they do or who even puts that truck out there. But to do this earlier in the morning, maybe, might be a good idea. Or to do this at a different time of day. I understand Route 95's busy all the time. But to sit in the middle lane and put up this sign, I know this seems like a silly thing to complain about. But I've seen it three times now in the last month, and it's out there the same time every day when they do it, 7:30 in the morning. So I just wanted to get that off my chest this morning. I don't think anything's ever going to change. It's been going on for a long time. But I just hope to God nobody ever hits that truck, because it would cause a lot of damage to people in the truck, and it would cause a lot of damage, I would imagine, to the people hitting the truck. And it's just sitting in such an odd area of the street. I also want to mention the Ohio State Fair kicks off Wednesday, I believe, this week. And they have got a lot of great concerts going on at the Ohio State Fair this year. The 29th is Styx with special guest Don Felder. July 30th is Be Like Blippi. This has been an internet sensation for years with kids. July 31st is the SOS Band and the Daz Band. August 1st is Alison Krauss and Union Station featuring Jerry Douglas. August the 2nd is Sammy Kershaw. August the 3rd is for King and Country. August the 4th is Nelly. August the 5th is Weird Al Yankovic with Puddle's Pity Party. August the 7th is Bailey Zimmerman with Lauren Watkins. And August the 8th is Blues Traveler with the Gin Blossoms with special guest Spin. So that's the rundown for the Ohio State Fair. And we will be giving away tickets to the Ohio State Fair to these concerts. Now, we've done this for several years now, and we try to, we've done it the day of the show, but that makes life kind of hard for people, because they have to play. If they win that morning, they have to get together with somebody that day and make plans for that night. So I think what we're going to try this year is giving away the tickets to the show that's the next day. So we'll give away the tickets the day before. So like tomorrow, we would give away tickets to Styx with special guest Don Felder, because that concert is not until Thursday. Does this seem like a good idea? I think this is a much better idea. But you know, I know a lot of the people on here. I know Styx. I've heard of Blippi. I've heard of Alison Krauss. Sammy Kershaw was here in Marion not too long ago. Nelly, Weird Al Yankovic, and Blues Traveler. Gin Blossoms, here's a little known fact. I love the Gin Blossoms. I think that's one of the greatest groups. And there's a Marian tie. It's not a strong Marian tie to the Gin Blossoms. Maybe I'll ask that question when we get to Gin Blossom Giveaway Day. But there's an interesting Marian tie to the Gin Blossoms. Now, I don't know who Bailey Zimmerman is with Lauren Watkins. I'm sure they're very popular. For King and Country, I'm not sure what that is. The SOS Band and the Daz Band, I'm not sure what that is. So I guess those are the only three that I'm not really sure about. But maybe somebody can fill me in on that as the morning goes along. But before we start taking phone calls, and maybe somebody can fill me in on what's going on here, this past Saturday, the Democratic Party had a meet and greet over in McKinley Park. They did have a pretty good turnout. It was kind of a potluck dinner. And I went over there and was lucky enough to catch interviews with the current Democratic candidate running for Secretary of State, Alison Russo, as well as the current Democrat running for Lieutenant Governor with Amy Acton, David Pepper. They both gave me interviews on Saturday, so I want to bring those back to you today. Both of them are about 8 minutes long. Here is Alison Russo, your Democratic candidate for Secretary of State from Saturday.
Scott Spears here in Marion for WGH Talk Radio, and we are joined by the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State here in Ohio with just 100 days to go until Election Day, Alison Russo. Alison, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Scott. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. 100 days out, what does that mean to you?
Well, to me, it means, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. It's 100 days to keep talking with voters, to organizing our volunteers, to making sure that people turn out to vote, they know what their options are for voting. You know, I think we've got a real opportunity here, and we'll not waste a single day over the next 100 days.
You know, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, gave a speech recently in which he talked about election interference, and a lot of people are nervous, especially Democrats, that something could seriously happen this November in regard to voting, that troops could be sent in, elections won't happen. They have a real fear of this. Is that fear founded in any way?
Well, listen, I think what we have learned with this president is, you know, we don't take anything for granted. And, you know, I think people, rightfully so, should be very concerned based on what he has been saying. He's made it very clear that he wants to interfere with our election process, particularly if the results do not match what he agrees with. And so I think, you know, all of us are being extra vigilant about this. I think you have seen some conversation about, you know, how do we make sure that our polling locations are secure, that people know what their options are, that they have the right information, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. And so, you know, I think it's our obligation as not only candidates, but for me, you know, as an elected leader in this state, to speak very clearly about what is true and untrue about our elections.
Do you fear that all of this talk might deter people from going to the polls in November?
You know, I don't think it's going to deter people. I think, you know, the more I talk to people, they seem more determined to overcome these obstacles that are clearly intended to keep certain people away from the polls. And so I have seen a determination, a motivation amongst more people, I think, this year than I have seen in a long time, because I think people are deeply concerned about not just the future of the state of Ohio, but the future of our democracy and our country when they hear these this rhetoric that is sounding more and more like authoritarian rhetoric instead of, you know, the conversations that we have as Americans. Even when we disagree, we've gone so far away from that and what we're hearing from the president that I think people are deeply concerned and extra motivated to turn out to vote.
The Democrats have not done well in Ohio State. statewide in a few years. What is different this year? With 100 days to go, why are the polls so close this year?
Well, I think it's because of, you know, frankly, what we're seeing, the decisions that are being made, the rhetoric that is happening in Washington, and the impact that is having on everyday people. You know, people are concerned about their energy bills. They are concerned about the future of our schools. They're concerned about those rising healthcare costs and not having access to hospitals or providers and locations. And I think that all of that is really making people turn away from the party that has been in power in this state for the better part of three decades. You know, we're looking at the outcomes. We're falling in educational outcomes. We're falling in health outcomes. We're falling in wage growth compared to the rest of the state. And people are hurting. This has very real consequences for people and their everyday lives. And, you know, I think that they want something different.
What are some of the biggest detriments that people in Ohio have faced because of the current leadership in the state?
Well, I think, you know, here in the state of Ohio, we have a state government that has been full of corruption, public corruption scandals, and, you know, that has a real consequence. We've got a state government that is not actually working for working people in our communities. We've seen less investment in our communities, less investment in things like services for our older Ohioans, less investment in our public schools. And that is because decisions have been made at the state level that are taking money away from everyday people and putting it in the pockets of corporations, of special interest, giving tax cuts to the very wealthiest Ohioans. And everyday working people and communities are paying the price for those bad decisions.
What is the biggest difference between you and your opponent?
Well, I think the biggest difference is, number one, you know, I understand that the job of the Secretary of State is to actually advocate for voting, to advocate for convenient access to the ballot. You know, my opponent can't even say that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. He is actively advocating to remove ballot drop boxes in all of our counties. He's talking about how he would very freely share your private voting data with entities like the Department of Justice. And, you know, I am saying the role of the Secretary of State, and I believe it is to ensure that every single Ohioan, regardless of who they vote for, what issue they support, that they should have free and convenient and secure access to their voting rights, and they should trust that the information that they see when they go into that voting booth is unbiased and is accurate. And that is my job as Secretary of State.
Just a couple quick questions here, and I know obviously you don't live in Marion, but it was a big week for us here. We were declared in fiscal emergency, our government here, by State Auditor Keith Faber. The government here, the city government was declared in fiscal emergency, is majority controlled by Republicans. Republican mayor, Republican auditor, Republican treasurer, and I believe only one Democrat on city council at this particular point. What does a declaration like that and the situation we're in say to a community like Marion, or you say to a community like Marion in regard to that?
Well, I think any time a community is in fiscal emergency, what that really means for the people of Marion is that there are not the resources available to invest in things like good parks and repairing your infrastructure of your roads and your neighborhoods, fire and police, and making sure that they are funded well enough to be able to stay staffed so that they can respond to the emergencies that happen in communities. I mean, listen, this is what we are seeing happening to communities all across Ohio, because we have seen this huge disinvestment from state government and using those revenues and putting them back to communities so that communities actually have the resources they need to deliver services to the people who live in those communities. And, you know, regardless of who is in charge of local government, that is a real strain that every single community in Ohio is facing right now. And it is because, to me, it starts with these bad decisions that are being made in our state government by the governor, by the legislature, all of which have been controlled by Republicans for the better part of 30 years, that has caused our communities and people at the local level to really suffer.
Why should people vote for Alison Russo this fall?
Well, I think you should vote for me because I believe in the power of your vote. I understand that we don't have an economy that works for you. We don't have government that is accountable and transparent to you. If the power of your vote is not protected, if your access to fair and secure elections is not protected, and that is what I will be doing, is fighting for the people and for voters.
Alison Russo, Democratic candidate for Secretary of State this fall. Thank you, Alison.
Thank you, Scott.
And there you go. As I said, your Democratic candidate for Secretary of State this fall, Alison Russo. And one thing I want to say about Alison, Alison is always available for the media. And I certainly appreciate that. And whether it's Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever the candidate might be, when somebody's that available to the media, I really do appreciate that. And she always is. And I also have to say, she brought, I guess you would call them flyers. They're nice. They're in color. They're on cardboard paper. Alison Russo for Secretary of State, taking power back, putting people first. There are a few pictures of Alison on here. QR codes, restoring your power in politics. Defend the freedom to vote and be heard. Make government more transparent and accountable. Stand up for Ohio families, not special interest. Alison Russo for Secretary of State. And there's even a letter on here that is written by Alison, and she was passing out buttons. Alison Russo for Secretary of State, and they were green. And green's my favorite color, so there you go. But I've got to say, she runs one of the most professional campaigns I've ever seen. She does have experience. She has been a state rep, and she's always available to the media. So there you are. Now, also on Saturday, David Pepper was there. He is the Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, running with Dr. Amy Acton, and we had a chance to speak with him on Saturday. And here comes that interview, hopefully interesting.
Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio, with current Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate, with Amy Acton on the top of the ticket for governor in the big election coming up this November, 100 days from today. David Pepper. David, how you feeling 100 days out?
We feel good. It's not often in Ohio that you're tied with 100 days to go, but Amy is such a great candidate, and Ramaswamy is just not trusted by Ohioans. So right now we see a pretty much toss-up in the polls. The whole nation sees it as a toss-up, and Ramaswamy right now, he's very unpopular. People don't trust him. They shouldn't trust him, and they don't seem to. And they know Amy's great leadership, so we have a real opportunity that doesn't come around very often.
The polls have been more or less tied up, down, back and forth for quite some time now. What can break this tie in the next 100 days?
I think as people first understand Amy's story, and not just what she did when we all saw her during the pandemic, but most importantly, born and raised in Youngstown, overcame very challenging circumstances, understands the hardships that Ohioans face because she herself experienced them, overcame them. I think her story is inspiring as people get to know her and see it. And then there's just also, I think, a very clear difference right now. She's running very clearly. We saw in the last week, she laid out her plan to reduce property taxes. We've talked about reducing healthcare costs. We're going to deal with things like childcare costs, housing. I think much more than Ramaswamy, she's laying out very specific, incredible plans to actually reduce costs that everyday Ohioan faces. And Ramaswamy, if you look closely, I mean, a lot of the stuff he's just throwing out there doesn't really add up. But secondly, it's like, I mentioned this to this group. He says, I'm going to get rid of the income tax. And they say, well, how are you going to pay for it? He says, well, we'll get rid of some colleges and universities. That answer is basically saying, well, Ohioans are going to pay for it by ruining their education or driving 90 miles and paying room and board when they used to be able to go to a college up the street. So the theme of Ramaswamy's plans is normally someone at the high end like him will get a nice break, like they always do, and everyone else pays the cost. So I think as that contrast becomes clear, I think people will, if we do our job, I think people who are still undecided will break our way because they trust Amy, they do not trust Ramaswamy. And when it comes to costs, I think she's laying out credible plans, and he's kind of everything he lays out. If you look closely, we pay the price for that. Sales tax would go up, or income tax would go up, or he gets rid of a college university. None of that helps everyday Ohioans.
If Dr. Acton is elected in 100 days, how big a part would you play in her administration?
I'd be the lieutenant governor. I would answer to what she asked me to do, and that's just in the same way that we've seen Husted play a prominent role in it. But it's at the direction of the governor, and I'm excited. We are a good partnership. I think we work together well. There have been some stories about how Ramaswamy and his running mate don't get along very well. We don't have that problem. We are a good partnership. So we're looking forward to working together. Obviously, she's the governor, and I would sort of take direction about what the most important roles I would play. But I'm really excited to do this. I think she's a truly incredible leader. And we obviously, from day one, really from night one, before we even start the day, we want to start going after reducing costs. You know, make stuff affordable again in Ohio. Make stuff cost less in Ohio. But then we also need to take on these bigger issues that have just been left unattended to or worse. You know, the long-term running down of our public schools, the fact that so much health care is so inaccessible, the threats to Medicaid from the federal government and from, in this case, Vivek Ramaswamy, who thinks it should be dismantled. So there's some big picture issues beyond the immediate need for relief on costs, like health care, like schools, higher ed, communities that are struggling that want to see sort of a better path. We're really excited to take on all that, and I'll be excited to play a role in all those issues.
Two quick questions here. This week we're sitting in Marion. We're sitting in Marion now, but this week Marion was declared to be in fiscal emergency by the state of Ohio. Obviously, you don't live here and don't know the particulars, I don't think, but the city government is controlled by a majority of Republicans at this point, one Democrat on city council, the mayor's Republican. What do you make of a declaration like this for a city like Marion?
I mean, I can't say much about it. I was in local government. I was a city council member, county commissioner, and you know, I don't know the specifics. I've heard a little bit. I saw the news on it. And obviously, like any community, I hope they figure it out. And the citizens of any community should expect that their taxpayers' dollars are you know, watched responsibly and kept account of responsibly and ultimately going to the purpose of lifting communities and providing services that people expect their tax dollars to provide. So, you know, I think that this is something that obviously the current and next auditor will oversee, and then you also will have, I think, a group from the local area making sure. But, you know, citizens should expect at all levels. And then going back to the bigger picture, you know, I'd love to do an audit at the state level of all the problems there. We've had one corrupt scandal after the next. We have a situation now where billions of dollars of vouchers are being sent out all over the state. There's no transparency or auditing at all. So just as we expect, you know, transparency and accountability at the local level, we need it at the state level. And at the state level, what do we see? $600 million to the Browns. We see billions going out in vouchers that no one even can say where it's going specifically or if it's even going to education. You know, when there's accountability at the local level, there needs to be. I was actually quite fiscally conservative as a local official, reduced spending, held the line on taxes. But let's try that at the state level, where there's so much, you know, every 2 years it's some new, you know, we got a sort of fake online school that took millions from good schools and to hurt education. It turned out that person became the biggest donor to the Republican Party for years on it. So let's bring that same level of transparency, accountability to the state level. And that's what Dr. Acton wants to do. That's what our other candidates from Attorney General, Auditor, Treasurer, Secretary of State, we need to bring that same toughness on transparency accountability to a state that hasn't had it for a very long time. I mean, we're going back to Queengate with these types of ridiculous scandals, and it's time we have some new folks in there doing the same thing at that level.
Final question, David, and I appreciate the time. A lot of hubbub was made recently in the news about Dr. Acton's position on trans athletes in Ohio. What did you make of her comments, and what did you make of the attention that got?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is this is settled law in the state of Ohio. And this is the Republican position is to try and distract everyone to fight about something that is settled law. And our goal is to talk about the issues in the last 100 days that voters right now are talking about, which is the cost of everything is out of control. It's overwhelming. And we're going to go fix those problems. So we're excited to spend the 100 days really honing in on that and making it clear to people, as I said in my speech, that a billionaire who's, you know, spent July 4th in Paris, who moved his business from Ohio to Texas, who literally said Ohio is a good state but not a great state, who says Ohioans are lazy, mediocre, not working hard enough, is the last thing we need in the governor's office. So we don't need any of these distractions. They always try and throw distractions up late. We're going to focus on costs from here to the end.
All right, David Pepper, Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor.
All right, there they are, your Secretary of State candidate on the Democratic side, Allison Russo, and candidate for Lieutenant Governor with Dr. Amy Acton, David Pepper. Now, does anybody have anything to say in regard to those interviews? 39 and a half minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. I did want to ask them both about the fiscal emergency declaration here in Marion, because it was a talk at the event on Saturday. But, of course, neither one of them live here, so it's hard for them to speak on the specifics of it. But they certainly were both aware of it. A matter of fact, I think one of them, and I can't remember which one it was, even talked about seeing it on the news. It might have been David Pepper. But I'll tell you, this race is heating up. It's very close, I think, with every statewide office. That has not happened in a long time, and I'm curious as to why that is. And I'm also curious as to why nobody is able to get a lead with 100 days to go as of Saturday. Now we're under 100 days. But I thank them for both coming on the show, just as I thank Vivek Ramaswamy's Lieutenant Governor candidate, Rob McCauley, for coming on the week of July 4th, as well as State Senator Bill Reinicke. So we interview anybody here, anybody who's willing to come on, we put them on. It doesn't matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on either one of those issues or interviews at this particular point? Okay, now I want to come back to the Ohio State Fair here for just a second, because does anybody know the people that I did not know who are performing at the Ohio State Fair? Does anybody know who the SOS Band and the Daz Band are? And does anybody know For King and Country? See, I might be out in the outer space on this one. Go ahead, Colin.
Go ahead, Colin.
You'll take anybody, interview them?
Democrat, Republican, Independent.
What about Communist?
Well, probably, sure.
What about Mandami from New York City?
Now, is he a Communist?
He says he's a Democratic Socialist.
Right, right. I think Bernie Sanders says that as well.
I mean, well, you know, that's a euphemism for Communism.
Is it?
There's been, I mean, what was USSR? Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. They were never socialist. They were communist. It all leads to communism because the imbeciles try to think that you can have a utopian society. The only way you can have a utopian society is if everybody is brainwashed or lobotomized. You know, individualism cannot exist in utopia because of the human condition.
Now, is communism a utopian society?
They like you to think of it, it is.
Why? See, now here's what I'm confused about. So, okay, if communism is not a utopian society, so why would they be communist if they're trying to sell a utopian society?
Because they're communist?
But you just said communism is not a utopian society.
Right.
So why would they be communist if they're trying to sell a utopian society and communism is not a utopian society?
Good heavens, Scott. They're stupid.
So it's just...
They're stupid.
Well, I don't know. I don't follow that really all that much. Whatever
well,
people want to call them.
Because if these socialist Democratic Party people get in there, and when you look at the makeup of New York City, they're the sick, lame, crazy, and lazy that voted for this because they want all this free stuff.
Well, I certainly think that people do want things to be more cost-effective and cheaper. I agree with that.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, right, but I don't know if that makes you socialist.
look at what Elon Musk did with Doge. They footed out all of the fraud. That makes things cost more. It trickles right down to the blue-collar working stiff, the taxpayer, who they all pay the brunt of all of the fraud.
You know, it's interesting. A listener out here this morning, let me put this out here. It says, in theory, yes, it's supposed to be utopia, but it always ends up an authoritarian socialism, hence the USSR. A communist country would have no government, money, or private property. Well, I certainly, if they're politicians, they don't want that.
Well, that's not really a government, you know. If you don't have a sanctioning body that oversees the welfare of a mass of people, you have chaos.
Well, here's the question I always have. Now, they do self-identify as democratic socialist, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I'm always confused on how, if elected by the people, which they were, why they would want to give their power away, which essentially is what communism would do.
Well, all I can say is look at Russia, look at Cuba, or as one of our famous presidents would say, Cuba, and look the mess they're in. It's insane. You cannot keep a population oppressed
for a
long, long period of time.
Oh, no, you can't. I mean, but communism lasted in Russia for quite a while. Now I think
it wasn't communism.
Well, see,
it was totalitarianism. If you said something that the premier didn't like, you're off to Siberia or you just disappear.
Well, see, now that's interesting. So Russia wasn't communist, even though they self-identified as communist.
They would say they were a communist country.
I gotcha. But with these people, they don't want to say communism, but they are.
Well, that's what it'll boil down to, or that's what it'll end up being. They can say, oh, yeah, we want to have free education, we want to have free housing, free food, et cetera, all this free stuff. Who's going to pay for it?
I don't think you can do that. Is that what they're saying?
You can't. You cannot do that.
Right. I thought, now maybe I'm wrong here. As I say, I don't pay too close attention to this, but I thought their stance was affordable, that the prices are too high and the big business is gouging people. So, like Mondami wanted to go back to rent control, not no rent in New York, but rent control.
But did they not already have rent control?
Not as much as they had had in prior years. It was becoming more and more, the prices in New York have went up considerably in the last 20 years.
It's like San Francisco supposedly had rent control, but good God, a studio apartment in San Francisco is probably going to cost you $2,000 plus a month.
Right, and my understanding, that was the problem. And that's why people like Mondami want to have rent control that drops those prices quite a bit.
But see, you know, the way to drop a lot of the cost of everything, everyone needs to have a home. Everyone have their own home. Now you have increased your property tax and hopefully income tax, because you can't have a home unless you're working, and make those affordable homes for people and start generating more revenue and lessening the tax burden on the ones who pay exorbitant amounts of tax, period.
Well, I think that's probably true. I think that most people would agree with that. I think they would probably agree with that.
Isn't it interesting? There's no real catalyst for, hey, we got to build more homes, more homes. No more of these high-rise housing of people.
Now,
we need to build people their own homes. They have their own lawns, etc., and make it affordable.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though. Wasn't there a housing bill just put forth in the Congress, and it was passed by Republicans and Democrats to control rent and to build more houses and so on and so forth? And the reason it has not kicked in is because the president refused to sign it?
You got me on that one. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So why would the president refuse to do that?
I have no idea. See, that would be a big coup for you if you could get the president an interview with him. Maybe Sam Donaldson might be able to work an angle and make that happen for you.
Well, I don't think the president would not do an interview. From what I understand, he likes to talk to people. And I'm not making a joke of this, but I'm pretty sure that most reporters in Washington, especially, have his cell phone number, I think more than ever before, but they don't use it a whole lot because, and this is their quote, not mine, Maggie Haberman, I think especially, that when you talk to him, he doesn't necessarily tell you the truth, so you're not going to print it because it's the same reason the networks pulled away from his speech the other night.
You know, one-on-one, do we ever know if anybody's telling the truth? Unless you've laid a trap and you know something and you want to find out if that individual knows it or not.
Well, that's an interesting question because if I ask somebody a question and they lie to me, but I don't know that they're lying, do you print it anyway? I think you have to fact check this stuff.
Do you print it? Well, you're quoting someone. Why do you have to fact check? If someone said, yes, I have a child by a female Martian, you know, it's, hey, that's what the person said. Let the credibility rest upon the person who made the statement.
Well, I think because, as we have found in this country and most others, if it comes from a person with a position of power, people will tend to believe it even if it's not true. And I'm not sure that the...
Or from a position of celebrity.
Well, I don't know if people believe with celebrities as much as they used to, but power they certainly do.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know, that's very difficult.
Did you hear about the female Martian?
No, I did not.
Not only did she have breasts in front of her, but in her back, too. She wasn't much to look at, but boy, was she fun to dance with.
Oh, there you go. Hey, so the point today, we got off on Mondami for some reason. Did it have anything to do with Russo and Pepper?
No, I wasn't able to get in on the...
Well, do you know who these bands are? The SOS band and the Daz band or for King and Country?
Oh, I don't know.
Neither do I.
Out loud.
I know everybody else at the fair, but...
The country is so fractured with this group, that group, etc., and even a group of a whole, such as the Democratic Party, even the Republican Party, they have this faction, that faction, etc. It's just turned into... it's turned into chaos. There's no cohesive message by... the Democratic Party, and you know, I guess you got a fairly cohesive message from the Republican Party, but, you know, credibility is lost. Both parties have lost credibility from, you know, local, state, and federal, and someone has to pull this country together, and it's going to take a lot of discipline.
Well, you know, all I've heard from people for at least 30 years now is they wanted more than two choices. So if there are all these splinter groups in these parties, well, I guess you got more than two choices now.
Well, the fact of the matter is both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party laid out the ground rules for the media. Now, here's a great thing the media could do. Okay, those who oppose the Republican and Democratic parties, you've got your party, we're going to give you airtime. Let the public hear. That's what freedom of speech and free press is supposed to be all about.
Well, I think most people do a good job with that. I think there are groups that do have a particular bend politically. But I think on the whole, most groups adhere to that.
No, you know, I'm waiting to hear from the Democratic scat munchers to get some airtime and put forth their platform.
Well, all I'll say is, if you watch any of the Sunday morning news shows, which still have bigger ratings than anything on cable, on the major networks, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, This Week, on any given Sunday, you will find Democrats, you will find Republicans, you'll find people who identify as Democratic Socialist. They do not seem to have a particular political bend that I've seen.
Well, hey, that's all been scripted and sanitized for the public. You can't really call that reality. You'd get that George Stephanopoulos up there. Oh, jeez. That guy, in my opinion, is a creep. He's a Bill Clinton buddy.
Right. Now, why is he a creep?
Because he's a creep. Watch the way he acts. He'll get people in and try to ambush him, get off of the subject, and try to ambush somebody. I'm trying to think of when J.D. Vance was on there. Someone else was on there, and I can't remember who it is, but, you know, that little pretty boy, his day has come and gone. You know, we need real people in there, not puppets. It's just like the cows on The View. It's outrageous the way that they broadcast and everything. It's just really all opinion. There's only one view, period. And if you don't agree with them, you're damned to hell.
Well, but
by the way,
J.D. Vance went on there.
I heard that the Palace Theater was supposedly having Omar the Tent Maker come to Marion, and he was going to do a show fitting Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I don't think so. But I do know that The View did have J.D. Vance on recently, and I believe they also had Marjorie Taylor Greene and somebody else recently who was obviously Republican. But I think they are the most watched show in daytime. So I doubt they'll be going anywhere anytime soon.
What does that say? That there are a lot of stupid people or people who are curious to see what the hell they're talking about, don't necessarily agree with them, but no, they're still losing ratings. Still losing ratings.
Well, I think all shows are, but they're still number one and have been for quite a while. So, as long as you still got the...
It's not saying a whole heck of a lot if you're number one and you only have... I'm sure they have more viewers than the Marion Star has subscribers.
Well, I think they have a lot of viewers. I think... I don't know the exact number.
Depends on what you call a lot.
Well, I mean, you have these shows that don't have anything to do with politics, with no opinions, like Kelly Clarkson and, well, every other show on in the daytime. And they...
That's because they're cheap and they find suckers, mindless mental midgets, to watch the crap.
Well, Jerry Springer was number one for a while, too, and that's the way it goes.
Oh, geez.
You give the people what they want.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of like, you have to be a parent. If your kids are crying for sugar and candy all the time, you become a parent. You don't give them what they want.
But you know what?
Give them what they need.
If you're in the television business and you don't give them what they want, you're not going to be around very long because nobody's watching you.
then you're not very bloody creative to be able to put something together that the public would like to consume.
Well, I think they are, and I think that's why you've
got it.
Okay.
That's just a thought. That's just a thought.
Okay.
Well, hey, to a better tomorrow. And is it true that Keith Faber bought a house in Marion?
No, I don't think that's true.
Well, hey, if it is, great. Welcome to Marion.
All right. And we're done with that, and we've got a break coming up, so we'll come back and we'll have a whole nother hour. Hope you stay tuned. Thank Allison Russo and David Pepper for being on the program. Back after this.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
and then just
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward. I mean,
you're always a little...